Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 198, episode 1 of
The Daily Zeitgeist,
the production of iHeartRadio. That's right, this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Monday, August 16th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Chugga 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 Doo Doo! Because I chug some dew, baby. That is courtesy of Aunt Triffy, and it is to the tune of a train, as they put it, okay. Which I appreciated. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's the most fucking awful time of the year. Because the students are coughing and parents are scoffing at mandates they fear. Woo! It's the worst fucking time of the year.
Okay, I was just thinking that to myself because I saw that old Staples commercial.
You're just writing your own. You're a singer-songwriter all of a sudden. Of your AKAs.
I've just been working it out in therapy, and you know, my therapist has been like, embrace that part of yourself. Yeah, you know, you don't have to be good at something to say that you do that. And I'm like, well, I don't have a record really deal. And she's like, fuck that. Sing your song.
Yes.
So shout out to
Speak
Dr. Shemitra
truth,
James.
Sing your truth. Shemitra James, eh? I got that.
It's my therapist.
All right.
She said I could say her name. I was
she
like,
did?
You know, I could keep it. Yeah, she's like, I don't mind if you tell people. I'm like, all right, then.
Yes, in fact, Shemitra. I wouldn't mind if you did. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the comedian and thought leader behind Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born takes place in an alternate reality where 9/11 never took place.
Bless
they are a TV writer and producer whose work you can see on a couple small outlets called Netflix and Cartoon Network. You may have heard of them. You can hear them on Jack AM, Hot and Rich. This podcast is self-care. Please welcome the hilarious Kate Ray!
Hello! Thank you so much for having me. It's so good to be back here.
Welcome back, the yellow one.
Yes, what a dream. Yellow Queen. What a dream. Yes. Wait,
a lot of you have subdued yellow look today. Just pops of yellow today.
So I am wearing a black and white checkered shirt with pops of sunflowers on it.
Yeah.
Because I did invent yellow and I do almost exclusively wear yellow, but I've shifted my style into slutty, crazy taxi summer, which is my current fashion theme. Yes, so I'm wearing anything that would like kind of be a yellow, like 1960s taxi. So like lots of checkers, black and white checkers have made their way into my fashion along with yellow.
Any like Abba Zabba type? So it's like Abba Zabba sort of aesthetic?
Exactly. Yeah, Abba Zabba aesthetic. I mean, you know, we'll get into the seasons. Technically, it is summer, but I think it's fall.
Right.
So I should update the theme.
The seasons are a state of mind, obviously.
Seasons are obviously a state of mind.
Abba Zabba, what a pull. I haven't had
I forgot Abba about Zabba Abba Zabba.
I don't fuck with Abba days. Zabba. You know, that's how bad fucking, Half-Baked fucked me up, because that's like a scene where he's like, Abba Zabba, you're my only friend. And he eats an Abba Zabba. And I remember always seeing it at 7-Eleven. I'm like, man, this shit look like a weird ass cab. And then because I fell in love with Half-Baked, then I started eating them. I'm like, actually, these are kind of good.
Mm. Yeah, it's long-lasting fun.
I don't think I've had an Abba Zabba since like I was like trick-or-treating age.
Yeah.
See, and in my neighborhood, I don't know, for whatever reason, there was not Abba Zabbas being handed out, where I had like never encountered it in a Halloween, you know, out in the wild until I did it myself at a 7-Eleven. So I don't know, just to give you an idea of my struggle as a child.
Kate, I just discovered your magnum opus about why Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born takes place in an alternate reality where 9/11 never took place.
Yes.
I'm convinced. Can you tell the people, give them it can't be fully encapsulated in just, you know, a teaser, but just to give they need to go check it out. Watch the entire PowerPoint presentation themselves.
Thank you.
Yes.
It is a 20 plus minute video essay where I make the very strong case that Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born, starring Lady Gaga, is a movie that takes place in an alternate reality where 9/11 never happened. There's a lot of, you know, things to strengthen that thesis statement that you could just go to my pinned tweet. It's my pinned tweet at Kate Raft. But, you know, one of the things is that Alec Baldwin was like the host of SNL when Ali was the musical guest for the season finale. And I thought this was back when, you know, the movie came out, Trump was president, and Alec was doing all the Trump impressions. And I was like, there's no way Alec would be the host of the season finale if this was a universe where Trump was president. And then I like did a lot of thinking and I realized Trump never got elected because 9/11 never happened. And
yeah.
There's so many more things, but that's just one of them.
Yeah, the level of fame I found very compelling, that like he is pre-9/11 famous. He is
He's like, his genre is like country-ish rock, which like just isn't like a thing that is as popular as it is in the movie.
Right.
Universe. Yeah.
It kind of was headed in that direction. Like Wilco was getting really popular
right
as 9/11 hit. And it's like, what if we kept going on that trajectory?
Exactly. And I think that if the Dixie Chicks didn't get canceled for saying George Bush was bad, there would have been a more like politically ambiguous country music scene.
Mm.
Whereas like after 9/11, I feel like it became way more like conservative.
Yeah. Right. That's
so if 9/11 happened, it would be more like everybody would listen to country instead of it being like this like politicized like we love America genre.
The film is meant to get the audience to examine what our world would have looked like had we not just launched into this failed war on terror. And
exactly. Okay. And as we get to the 20-year anniversary of 9/11 next month, I think it's important for people to watch my PowerPoint.
Yeah,
really.
It's so good. It's so convincing.
Thank you.
People need to check it out. All right, Kate, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Okay,
first, a few of the things we're talking about. We could kick it off maybe with Quentin Tarantino. This is a silly little story, but I think it explains a lot about America.
A lot of depth to it.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about this being that most wonderful time of the year when we return to school and just check in with America. How's that going? We'll talk about Caitlyn Jenner's run for California governor.
Very serious run, Jack. Very serious. Please say that. Very serious run.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, not put that disclaimer in there.
Yeah.
We will talk about the eviction ban and rent relief programs and why they're so damn complicated by design. And before we get to know our guest just a little bit better, Miles, mm-hmm. we have to tell the listeners about August 25th, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're bringing you the year 2000. Speaking of pre-9/11, mm-hmm. we're talking the year 2000. We're doing the Zeitgeist. You come for the daily Zeitgeist. We're giving you the entire year 2000 Zeitgeist in a live streaming, audio, visual, interactive extravaganza.
Yes. Hop in the chat. Talk with us. Talk with our special guest, Chris Crofton.
What?
Who will be there with his time traveler takes from the year 2000. Yeah. And again, it's going to be going off. There will be a little chat window. We'll get to talk to y'all. It'll be more than just a one-way street, a two-way street, if you will. Mm-hmm. So get your tickets at momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist to get your tickets. And don't worry, if you're working, like we've said 100 times before, there is a video on demand option so you can watch it at your leisure. But you got to get a ticket. And that link will be in the footnotes.
Footnotes?
Just in case, you know. And we'll,
Shanotes?
We'll check out the handles. You know, check out the socials. We'll have the
just look at the description of this episode and you can find the link right there.
Yeah.
All right. Kate.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry for all of that.
People have to know.
The people have to know.
People got to know.
I needed to know. I needed to hear that too.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Other than just searching for our live show after you just heard us tease it right there, what is something from your search history?
Okay. So I had to check because I couldn't remember. And I looked and it was Craigslist electric scooter because I really want to buy, like, I want someone to have like stolen a Lime or a Bird scooter and like converted it so that it's no longer like, you know, an app scooter. And I want to buy it from someone on Craigslist. Like, I want to do a shady scooter deal.
Right.
I don't want to be the one to convert the stolen scooter, but I want to buy like a stolen app scooter.
I want to buy
stolen
property. Right.
Yeah. I want to buy like a stolen app scooter off of Craigslist. Like, so bad. I really want it. I want to like zip around Echo Park in like one of these like scooters, but I don't want to have, I want to like just buy it.
Right.
Someone who did the work.
An owned and operated scooter. I love it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that?
There has to be. There definitely has to be. I didn't search that hard. It's still a journey I want. If you're listening to this and you live in LA, please, I will buy the scooter from you. I want one.
Wink, wink. You know, I'll buy
allegedly.
One. Oh, allegedly, I'll take it off your hands to repair it myself and then return it to the rightful owner. Obviously, because
yes.
I'm in scooter
obviously.
Recovery.
I know.
Like
I'm not even trying.
Shopping carts.
I'm just openly doing crimes on this podcast.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Not even
it's
trying
fine.
To hide it.
That's what we're here for. Nobody listens to it. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, I sell catalytic converters that I steal off of cars on the side. Anyway, go in the footnotes. There's a link for that too. But
that's you.
I'd imagine if you were looking for one, you would go to like a scooter, like an e-scooter repair place, you know, like, because I'm thinking of like a 90s movie where it's like 8mm and you're like, how do I fucking get down? Like, first you got to get in orbit of the scene. And then from there, be like, who are the shadiest cats? You know, they're like, oh, that's Rick. And then Rick leads you to like those Limes.
Yes.
He's like, I have a first gen Lime scooter if you're looking for it.
Ooh.
Yes. I need a guy like that. Like, I feel like there's a guy, there's got to be a guy probably like on my block that does that. I just have to find him.
Or if you work for the companies, let us know how to just make it ourselves. You know, is there some tracking chip in there? I'm sure there is. That's how they find you and tell you not to sell them in front of the metro station. But, you know, what are the secrets here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea of somebody just trying to open their own like one scooter, like an indie taxi cab company, just a shady indie scooter.
Yeah, we like, just
oh,
got
you
the
could
one.
Use that or you could use mine.
Okay, how about this? K Kate, would you buy one if someone, it said it's an above board scooter, but it's meant to look, they got all the body pieces on it, so it looks exactly like an app scooter, but it's actually above board, not stolen, and you can do whatever you want with it.
Honestly, like, that's what I was expecting to find. I just think it'd be funny to find someone that, like, stole it and spray painted it black or something. Like, right. But, like, I actually, like, genuinely just want an electric scooter. I would do it above board, of course.
Right, but at the end of the day.
Bonus if it looks like one of the app ones. But, yeah. Like, my God, I just, like, I live it on a hill, and I'm, like, so sick of, like, walking up and down it. And I'm, like, would love just, like, a little help, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like that would be not only a very commonly stolen piece of property, but I feel like the police wouldn't even blame the people after they stole them if you had a private scooter that looked exactly like a Lime scooter and somebody just like came through and like took it. They'd be like, well,
that's the problem. I
mean, kind of have to cut them a break on this one. That's pretty funny. I love that idea. What is something you think is overrated?
Summer, I'm over it. I'm done.
It's fall already, huh?
It's fall. It is fall, but I'm over like it being hot. I don't have AC right now. It's a mess, and I'm over it. I know this is a basic answer, but I'm done. I'm done with summer.
Right. I mean, because last time you were here, we were like, I think it was like the end of April. So
yeah.
I feel like we had eyes. It was like the vaccine optimism was up. Everyone was like, woo, because it's up. Right. Then it's stuck. And we're ready to go out there. And now, did you have a bit of a, like, were you feeling hot vac summer? And then you're like, I'm off this shit. Fuck it. It's all fucked up.
Oh, I went so hard. Like, I was so strict during, like, most of the pandemic. Yeah, and then same. As soon as I got vaxxed, I went so hard. I was like, I went to Vegas. I went to Catalina Island. I like went on like trips with friends. I like went like dancing without a mask inside and packed like clubs and like I, you know, I went super hard. And then
dance yourself clean too, that one?
I didn't go to I would dance at Akbar a lot, and then I went to like some warehouse party that I paid $25 for that was too expensive, that was like not worth it. But it was fun still.
right.
Wait, did you start playing the LCD Sound System song, or that's a party?
That's the name of a dance party.
Got it. Yeah,
it was it used to be at the Satellite or something, right?
Yeah, now it's like at the Terragram.
Yeah, I go to parties.
Yeah, okay, I was there. Sure. I know. Yeah, I'm at Los Globos. I'm at Los Globos.
I just didn't know which one you were talking about.
I went to Los Globos.
Yeah.
I've been all around.
Yeah,
and all the dance parties.
I know. So, but you've kind of. But now, what the summer? What's happened? What? Why are you soured on summer?
I think it's too hot. I think the vibe is bad. Mm. You know, people are getting freaked out about Delta. Like, I think, like, I haven't decided like what I'm going to change about. Like, I think I have to stop going to maskless indoor dance parties for one.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I think so that's one thing I've had to stop doing. And now that that's not on the table, I'm over summer. I'm like, let's just get on with fall. I'm ready to just like have a pumpkin spice latte, dive headfirst into a pumpkin patch. Like, I just want fall. I want to go back to school shopping. I'm not in school.
Yeah.
I haven't been for over a decade, but.
Damn, that would be fun. That feels like a fun time. I would get so high and just buy back to school supplies. Like, but the version I used to try to do when I was a kid, and my mom would be like, you ain't getting that fucking binder. I'm like, but it's a 5-star mead one. It's supposed to last for at least 2 years.
Those are that's the good shit. The 5-star mead binders with like the cloth covers.
Yeah, and then you put the white out. You bomb that shit with the white out. You know what's up already.
That white out pen.
Yep.
So good. Yeah, I also had that experience where my mom wouldn't let me like buy everything I wanted back to school shopping. So I do think as an adult this year, I'm going to like go full on back to school shopping.
Then I'm going to I'm just going to wait outside like, hey man, you want this shit?
They're like, yeah, I'll just give it to like some cool kid outside of Target. Like,
I just needed the experience of like not saying no to myself in the back to school shopping context, because it's all peachy folders all the time.
Do you guys have the same sense memory as me where it's kind of like a sweet eraser smell? Do you have that?
Oh, yeah. That was in erasers that were like on Asian pencils and stuff like that. It was like that. It was different than that hard ass red rubber, like the colored mark. Like I remember I would have like these Japanese erasers that were like look like food and shit that I would bring back from Japan. Yeah. During school.
Why do they smell so delicious?
I don't know. Probably to mask all the other terrible chemicals.
They just spray like, it with a little
like this shit strawberry. Is fucking reeking. Get it.
Kate, what is something you think is underrated?
Well, to piggyback on what I thought was overrated, I'm going to say fall is underrated. I know everybody already likes fall, but they don't like it enough. It should be longer. It should be all year round, even.
Mm. Yeah.
I think fall is a state of mind, and I think it's underrated.
What do you think people are overlooking? Like, what are the obvious reasons you think people like fall, and what are the reasons that you're like, but y'all are missing the whole other part?
I think like people like that the weather's cooling down. People like that the leaves are changing. I mean, not here necessarily, but like in other parts of the country. I think people like just the cozy vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they don't, what's the underrated part about fall? The celebration of death and decay. We should celebrate that more. We should lean into that. It's already a part of our culture, our world. Everyone's dying. The world is dying. Fall is like literally leaves dying as a season.
Right.
Fall is the best like iconography too. It has like pumpkins are the coolest like icons of any season, I feel like.
Icons.
Icons.
And then like the pumpkin spooky is shit, like
icon.
Like it's like a fun, like Halloween is so fun.
Yeah.
And like it's all like a fun goofy celebration of like, you know, goth shit, which is like
right,
that's our world that we live in. Goth, let's have summer. Some fun with it.
Yeah,
let's have fall, let's turn every season into the goth season, which is fall.
Yeah, we call it the fall, like rather than just fall, it's the fall, like as it's like the fall of civilization.
I mean, we're in mankind. The fall of civilization. Yeah, let's celebrate the fall.
I wish there was a climate that, like, Southern California is basically summer around, like, year-round. It would be dope if there was a fall year-round, which isn't possible because you can't be perpetually falling. But
is there, like, a place like that? There has to be. Like, what?
But then the leaves can't. The leaves have to go back up on the tree. They can't.
Famously,
just
leaves
be.
Can't just always be...
famously.
Yeah. Or it's the freakiest tree. It keeps on like leaves fall, then immediately green ones sprout, turn brown, then fall, and it's like,
oh my god,
it does it every day.
We should get like a tree to the beach that makes you turn old. And then it would be always changing colors, like constant, like every 5 seconds.
Oh yeah, because it's rapid aging. Okay,
because it's time.
It
yeah. We figured so it out.
The answer, Jack, is the beach from that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yes,
that's
yes.
right.
Honestly, like, I loved that movie. That's another thing that's underrated is the movie Old.
Oh, wow.
That's fucking great. I loved it.
This is the first the first positive take I've heard on it.
Everyone hated it. Everyone said it was stupid. I'm here bravely saying that the beach that makes you old is a fucking great film. It gave me a panic attack in the movie theater.
That's powerful.
I had to go to the bathroom and... Yeah, like it gave me, like it stressed me out. Like I was so in it.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's a good movie. Like it sucked me in. I loved it. I love M. Night. I always have. I'm a big M. Night fan.
Just the concept of the film made you have a panic attack, or just the stress of the film like sort of culminated at a certain point? You're like, okay, hold on, I need a second.
I don't know. Maybe it says something about my mental state, but the movie freaked me out. I was like, oh my God. Well,
I know somebody who had a full blown, like they went catatonic, like they've, like got locked up in a panic attack during the movie Signs when the alien crosses the camera in the birthday party like footage. Like they said well, they had to, like an ambulance had to be called and they had to stop the film because she basically was like couldn't leave her body. She was like,
oh my God.
So I was like, I guess his movies are powerful.
That was me during Old. I don't know. It is super embarrassing, but I had a massive panic attack. And then I left the theater being like, that was really good.
Huh, kind of needed that. I don't know if I needed the panic attack or the movie, like, but it's felt like, cathartic.
Wow, like, I love a movie that, like, hurts me, you know? Oh. Like, a movie that's painful to watch. I was like, give me more of that. Yes, Daddy.
Yeah, please. Take me to the beach.
Yes. It really fucked me up when the kids like went through puberty super fast and like became like adults. I was like, that is so fucked. Like, there's something so fucked up about that. Right. Like,
oh no, does it
really
show
fucked
that?
Me up? Yes. Well, like, it doesn't show them like anamorphing, but it, you know, they like have like several like sets of actors playing the kids like throughout their aging process.
Oh wow.
It's yeah, like, you look in your mind, you hear, see like a werewolf transition yeah. scene. It's like, oh, like pubic hair blowing out of their armpits yeah. and shit.
Oh my God. They should have had that shot. They should have done that. Sorry, this is a lot of spoilers for the movie Old. If you didn't know, they get older in the movie.
I think that's the only thing
people know.
Yeah, but that's the one thing that they got. How do they handle the clothing situation? Is it a Incredible Hulk situation where they just like have
kind of like, I think like once they realize like the kids are like growing, like the little boy like can't fit into his shorts anymore. So they kind of address that they have to like change clothes.
I'm sure that was
they
the first
can't
question
fit into
on
their kids
everyone's
clothes.
Mind.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Clothes.
Really,
they don't Hulk out though.
You're like, yeah. But what about when they outgrow their clothes?
Yeah. I mean, that's the real stressor for me is the kids already outgrow their clothes. You get like three wears out of them. And now you're telling me
they're
it's barely going to be one wear for like 5 minutes. Come on.
That is such a weird part about being a kid is that you just like have to get rid of your clothes all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're just like growing all the time.
You're on that beach. Like, is there another family on the down the beach who has a kid who's experienced the same thing? And maybe we could get some of their clothes, like
some
a hand-me-down
situation
on the beach here.
We sent like emergency clothes to school with my 5-year-old at the beginning of school year. And we got them back at the end of the school year. And they're just like comically small. Like he wouldn't fit into them at all.
Oh,
like,
right.
Great.
Just the span
Glad
of a
got
year.
Some use out of this.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Where's he going to school? That beach?
Yeah. He goes to he's shaving now, which is weird for
congrats.
People say it's weird for a 5-year-old, but
yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Are glasses broken? you guys getting into a tiff? He's getting pretty strong too. He sneezed and he accidentally headbutted and he broke my glasses.
The accidental headbutt is real.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. I felt really bad for this mom who was like looking at her baby, and the baby had like loose head.
Yeah,
I was like, boom! And it looked like the recoil was so real. I was like, oh god,
oof, painful.
Not doing that. Not having a kid just for that. Don't want an accidental headbutt.
Count me out.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and come up with another really good reason not to have a kid, Quentin Tarantino.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey. From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And Quentin Tarantino made headlines this past week because he basically announced that he has never forgiven his mom for being dismissive of his writing career.
He says. Just said on a podcast, he revealed this terrible back and forth about when he was a kid and his mom was essentially saying, like, you need to focus on school and not writing. And this is the quote. And then in the middle of her little tirade, she said, oh, and by the way, this little writing career with the finger quotes, this little writing career that you're doing, that shit is fucking over. Then he basically clarified that his mom meant that she didn't want him writing in class when he was supposed to be doing something else. When he was, quote, as he quoted, supposed to be doing something else. Yeah, fucking learning, you child. And then he goes on to say, and when she said that to me in that sarcastic way, I was in my head and I go, okay, lady, when I become a successful writer, you will never see one penny from my success. There will be no house for you. There's no vacation for you. No Elvis Cadillac for mommy. You get nothing because you said that. There are consequences for your words as you deal with your children. Remember, there are consequences for your sarcastic tone about what's meaningful to them.
So wow. I mean, wow. I'm sure he said and like thought all those things at the moment. And then most kids like calm down 15 minutes later and are like, oh, I guess I should not be writing in the middle of math class. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they like stay mad. But
dude, no Elvis Cadillac. I was like, that is for really mommy. Specific. Also, it's an anecdote I have about him. The two times I've seen Quentin Tarantino out and like I've seen him order a drink, he drinks Cadillac margaritas. So I don't know if he's been having Cadillac on the brain for a minute. Just a side note.
I think he even put that in one of the movies he directed, didn't he? And like Death Proof, he like makes people Cadillac margaritas and like makes the characters, like he plays a bartender and makes the characters be like, these are so good. Your margaritas are the best, dude.
Wait, what's a Cadillac margarita? What is that?
It's a margarita. It's the floater. Let me tell you what the difference is here.
I think it
has
a
here.
Shot of tequila, right?
The Cadillac margarita. Oh, so they're saying uses premium top shelf. Oh, Grand Marnier. That's what it is. That's the difference makers that there's Grand Marnier in it.
I just love that he's like sticking to the same like logic and attitude that he had as like a 12-year-old. It's like, no, I'm not going to like mature beyond this statement I made as a child.
It's interesting. Yeah. They ask his mom, like the tabloids, like, hey, what do you think about this? And she was like, I love my son. Like, I have no ill will towards him. I think, like, I'm glad I was at his wedding. And, like, I heard about she said, like, I'm glad to know about the birth of his son or something. So, like, there's clearly some distance there.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
But then she went on to say, I also, quote, do not wish to participate in this salacious transactional media frenzy. So I was like, good for you. You just said, I'm dead in this shit, bro. Don't drag me into this. Yeah, my son's a fucking fuck boy, but I don't care. I don't need his money
anyway.
Good for her.
But I also wanted to play this clip from, it's a Charlie Rose interview with Quentin Tarantino from right when Pulp Fiction hit and he was first becoming, you know, nationally famous. And it's him actually talking about his relationship with his mom. And when he's at the beginning of his fame, he has a much different kind of story to tell about his parents' role in his career. So what we're going to hear, Charlie Rose basically like, so did you want to be a director from when you were a little kid? And this is Quentin's answer. By the way, flying on whatever substance he was flying on for...
What year is this?
15 years.
94. 95, 94.
Okay.
Yeah, 94.
Okay.
Oh, it's the only thing that
director,
I...
Director, screenwriter, just get me in this business. I want to be there.
Well, it was funny. I didn't say director... screenwriter, because I mean, I guess I always knew movies were written, but I didn't know what a director was, you know. Right. But actually, my parents said, "Well, you're going to be a director someday," and everything. I didn't know what that was. I wanted to be an actor because when you're a little kid and you want to be involved in
with
movies,
on the screen.
So you say, "Well, I want to do what they do," and so all through my childhood, all right, I thought, you know, I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be an actor, and I wanted to be an actor. And but oddly enough, though, I remember my mom tells stories, and I remember them. She doesn't have to remind me of them. Where I would like see a movie, and I'd like it.
Shade.
And I used to play with G.I. Joes all the time. You know, I had a whole bunch of G.I. Joes, those dolls.
I remember that,
Mom.
And I would
always play movies. Basically, I would just kind of like do my version of whatever I saw.
Every kid
does
that.
And I would like be acting out all the parts with all the G.I. Joes, and I would be like, you know, kind of like directing these little plays just for myself with the G.I. Joes. And the same thing is like, you know, I would, you know, and I'd see some movie because I saw all kinds of stuff, not just Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo, but like all kinds of like, you know, my mom took me to see Carnal Knowledge and The Wild Bunch and all these kind of movies when I was a kid. And so like...
Because you wanted to do it? Because she...
No, she just like, movie's a movie. Yeah, there's nothing he's going to see in a movie that's going to mess him up.
You're right.
You know? And it's like, I mean, like, and there are some kids that...
Is she still saying that?
Yeah. Well, today she's very happy she did that. Yes. Yeah. But it's
So... She went out of her way to take him to movies that were going to feed his obsession. She told him he was going to be a director before he knew what that meant. Like the reason this stuck out to me when I read this story is because I remember being like, oh, that's such a cool thing that somebody's actually like giving flowers to their parents. Like,
right.
And like, you're seeing how, because most celebrities don't do that. Most celebrities kind of rewrite their narrative so they never got any help. But that's why I think this is a very instructive kind of story about just how America works, that like he has rewritten his own story. So instead of like believing in him and helping him like come up with the idea that became his career and his life, he rewrites it so that his mom is like, you'll never be shit.
Right.
And his mom, and it's just like, that's like, I think about this a lot with Drake too. Like, you can see the evolution of Drake in his songs, where it starts out and he's just like an actor who had a dream of rapping, and his friends and his mom like help him. And soon it becomes like everyone's against him, like starting from the bottom of, like, I don't know what. You were famous by the time your brain was fully formed. I don't.
Right.
But we need the bootstraps myth so bad that
I know
we reward people for like editing their backstory. So, and like behaving like complete monstrous sociopaths and like turning on the people who actually helped pull them up out of, you know, the muck of normalcy. We want them to like turn on those people and just like make it so that nobody believed in me, and then I became this
right.
singular genius. And it's like,
my that's own mother.
Rarely how it works.
I mean, this on one level, I'm like, oh, it's interesting. He has a lot of violent scenes involving women in his films. I'm like curious what is going on, really. Like, what version is real? Did he not want to give that up in the Charlie Rose interview? Because he had, something's fucked up with him and his mom, clearly.
He's got some fucked up shit with his mom. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if he has that kind of complex where he like is obsessed with her in both positive and negative ways.
Right,
and like,
sure.
Something's coming out in his work. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like my guess would be like they've probably had moments in their relationship that have been better and sometimes worse. It sounds like it's bad now because she hasn't met the kid or something. Which
great to hear his kid.
Yeah, to hear about the kid. Like, sounds like drama. Sounds like some drama.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And then I just think of like, who? I mean, if for him to really be like, no, I don't want to do any, like, I'm not fucking helping her in no way. I mean, you'd think that it was chronic, just absolute undercutting from his mom. Because like, Look, I think everybody grew up and we had parents who were like, man, stop fucking with that nonsense or whatever.
Right.
Like, you need to focus on. I never took that and be like, oh, I'm going to fucking show you, mom, because you want to act sarcastic. I'm going to fucking wait till COVID hit. I'm going to be like, I don't give a fuck if you need groceries. You know, like, what the fuck is this shit? I mean, like,
it's not a good look to be like a rich person bragging about not giving your parents money, like,
right,
for such a petty reason, like,
right,
regardless of the reason, like, it's just like, you should do that in private. Like, if you're going to fuck over your parents, like, and everyone knows you're rich, like, maybe don't like advertise it. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Also, his mom's clearly very, like, just the salacious transactional media like the transactional, I think, is like, oh wow, she's really smart.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh, that's Tarantino's mom.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds exactly. Like it sounds like Lucille Bluth, you know, giving quotes. She's like,
right?
I do not just wish daggers. To participate in the salacious transactional media frenzy. It's like your son is crying out for help.
I don't sounds have, like a
I
lawyer
don't understand
something.
The question and I won't respond to it. Yeah, it I don't know, his son's name's Leo too.
Oh, okay,
cool. I wonder if that's named after who.
After Leo,
I'd hope. Man. So the fucking vaping the vaping AirPod fucking king of Hollywood.
Fucking better be.
Director
carbon
really
neutral
that
king
dude.
Yeah. Carbon, yeah, dude, the CNK. They did say though that he admitted, like, okay, he did help her once, like he said, with, like, he helped her out of a jam with the IRS.
okay,
he said, but no house, okay, though, no Cadillac. Okay, so I'm not a total monster. So it's like, so you did kind of help her then.
Okay,
it's so, also I think there's, you know, the part where you hear him say, and she doesn't need to tell me because I remember the story myself.
Yeah,
and,
like, oh,
yeah, there's something.
Just the anger that you can see in this podcast recounting of the scene that he has chosen to make, like, sort of the central memory of his mom. It's also that thing where I do feel like when you become very famous, you stop having to develop as a human being. And mm-hmm. a lot of this shit feels, yes, like early 20s angst that you grow out of pretty quickly. And that,
right,
you know.
It's, yeah, because it's definitely like, yeah, that angst of when you're cry screaming at your parents saying, you don't even know me.
Right.
Like, but into middle age.
It is so funny. Like, I mean, I think, like, you know, we all regress around our parents and, like, have mm-hmm. fucked up baggage or whatever. Like, yeah, it's just funny to be, like, doing that in public, like, right, on a podcast, like, when you're Quentin Tarantino. I guess, like, hey, we're all human. We all don't want to buy our mommies an Elvis Cadillac.
Right.
Because they were mean to us once.
Yeah. We all still say mommy.
Yeah.
When we,
I know,
speak
we all say mommy.
Let me tell you something, Charlie. I'm like, mommy, fuck you, you know? And she was like, Quentin. I said, no, mommy, I'm done with this. So fuck you, bitch. And that's me, Quentin, okay? Like, whoa.
That's a good Quentin. That's a good,
yeah.
That's a good Quentin. If I was Quentin Tarantino's mom, I would just, like, lie about having more IRS trouble. I'd be like, oh, yeah, oh, no. They're after me again. Time to cut a check.
But actually, make it out to Brent's Pool Supply. Yeah. And then in the notes put down payment for hot tub and then my address.
I'm sure all, like, both of those stories are true. His mom telling him that he's never going to be a writer, and also his mom taking him to violent movies he wanted to see because she could tell that there was something there with him, and also telling him he was going to be a director. It's just, you know,
Yeah.
Relationships with parents are infinite. There's an infinite number of, like, memories that you could choose to go with. And it's
right.
It's just, I think, very American to cling to the one where nobody thought you could do it, Rocky.
Yeah. Because if you zoom out, it just sounds like a mom who's like, okay, he's not paying attention in school anymore because he's so into this thing. And I've been there too. I've been completely distracted. And then when your parents are like, hey, knock this shit off, you need to fucking get through school.
Yeah.
And then saying something like that. But he's like, and then she was like, this is fucking over. Her little tirade, as he called it. Like,
a little tirade. Wow.
I love the like the concept of, like, bashing your child's career, though. Like, specifically saying, like, your writing career is over. Like, your career, like, you're, like, 10 years old. And,
right.
Like, your
little
is
writing
over.
Career. is over.
Like, the word career makes me think, like, this conversation never happened. Like, I don't know if she would say that. Like,
because he wasn't, like, winning.
What career?
Like, yeah, he wasn't winning, like, the child script writing contests of, like, the 70s or something where they're like, this child is a genius.
But when you're a kid, I can imagine, like, inventing the word career in your mind because you think you have a career. But, like, I can't imagine a parent saying that to a child, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well. Probably fake.
Could be. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about back to school.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and school is back in sesh, baby. Mm-hmm. In some parts of the country, Nevada, Florida, Mississippi.
Yeah.
How's it going, Miles?
I mean, just a cursory look at the headlines, and they're terrifying. Okay. So I just searched school COVID this morning I saw one thing about, like, in Florida, 4 teachers just died of COVID. That's like before the school year even started. So it wasn't that they got it in school, but they're like, 4 teachers are the students are going to find out that their teachers passed away like days before the year started.
Oh my God.
And they said that 3 of the 4 were unvaccinated, or at least 3 of the 4 were unvaccinated, according to the school union president. And they were like on summer break when they caught it and just tragically passed away right before the school year. And I was like, oh my God. So then I was like, what
possibly
else is going
working
on?
Service jobs to supplement their income, but who knows?
Yeah. But then you see another thing. In Florida, 400 students and faculty must isolate after a COVID exposure at school. So over 400 students in Palm Beach County, they had to quarantine just 2 days after school began because of a coronavirus Jeez. Outbreak at school. And so they're like, yeah, if, essentially, like when school began, 51 students and staff had tested positive. So in total, 440 have had to isolate. I said, oh, my God. And this school has a mask mandate, but parents can opt out. So it's not, I don't know what the point of that mandate is. Then you look at Nevada. This other one said more than 80 students were potentially exposed to COVID-19 on the first day of class in Reno, Nevada on Monday after a parent sent their child to school, despite both the parent and child receiving a positive COVID-19 test just 2 days earlier. The exposed students had to quarantine at home and started distance learning on Tuesday.
I mean, so my question, the numbers...
They're all fucking car wrecks. You know
the
I mean?
Numbers in Florida are worse than they were at the peak of COVID, like
right.
last year, when everybody was doing distance learning. It just feels like... I was just talking to a friend of mine who... like works in software sales and was doing a demo thing for a bunch of clients. And he was talking about how at the beginning of the day, everyone was masked because they didn't know each other. But by the end of the day, he was the only person wearing a mask. He's like, it's not like we got more vaccinated over the course of the day, but
right.
people just got A, tired of it, and B, just like more comfortable, I guess, with, and I feel like that's where we're at with just the pandemic at large. We're just like done, tired, and also just comfortable with the idea of dying of COVID.
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of people too, though, have like their own like flawed anecdotal data set that says
right.
like, dude, I've been doing my shit and I've been healthy or I haven't gotten right. sick. So what is, and now I'm vaccinated, even better, you know, like there's a lot of psychological things that too, that like, I think make people not necessarily that they're like, I don't give a fuck if I die, more so like, I mean, I'm based on this current plan I'm on, I've been doing great. So why yeah. the fuck should I change anything? And I think that's where I think for even my, I find myself feeling like that too, but then I'm like, oh, right. But prior to this, I was not socializing. I was like, right. I was taking my safety very seriously, and it's not that I was out in high risk situations constantly and not getting sick, but like we sort of begin to, you know, rearrange the order of things to sort of make ourselves more comfortable with things. Or at least for me, that's happened.
The CDC, I think it was a director of CDC or some health official straight up said, it was like weeks ago, they were like, if you're not vaccinated, you are going to get the Delta variant. Like that is how communicable Oof. This is. Like it
right.
is.
It's
happening.
When, not if.
So it is know. A thousand times
it's so
more
contagious.
Prevalent in the nasal cavities of people, even people who are vaccinated, who have breakthrough infections. There's a thousand times more COVID particles. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but...
I heard someone say, someone at work, and this is not a scientist, this is someone just at my work. But so it could be wrong.
Hey, in 2021, that might as well be a fucking Nobel Prize winning scientist. Right.
So someone at my work was like, the regular COVID is like a spray bottle and the Delta is like a hose.
Yeah.
In terms of just like, you're going to get it.
Yeah. And again, and you look, sorry, I wasn't even done with the headlines because we have to take a trip over to Mississippi. 5,000 in isolation after 3 days of school. Was a headline. Nearly, and this is from the article, quote, nearly 5,000 children, educators, and school staff are quarantined in Mississippi after returning classrooms at the start of the school year, some under mask optional policies. The 69 outbreaks reported between August 2nd to August 6th, which was the second week of school for some districts, resulted in nearly 1,000 children and 300 teachers and staff testing positive.
I mean,
oh my God.
That sucks so bad. I can't even say nice after you said 69.
I
can't even either. And I famously love right. 69.
You're, yes.
Did I say 69? Oh, yeah. 69 outbreaks.
69 outbreaks, bro. I mean, that's how bad it is.
That's
you
how
didn't
bad
even
it
notice.
Is.
Yeah.
You didn't even notice that you said 69.
And we're Things trying to bring 69 dark. Culture back, too. It's a shame. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. There, every article you read is like, it's a bad, nothing's turning out great. I think the best piece of news we got is that Lollapalooza only like could be attributed to like maybe just under 200 or like around 220 infections from Lollapalooza. So it wasn't like a super spreader event. So
everyone's that's like, good. Okay, I mean, like, good. It's not good, but
hey,
better than I thought. Look at those pictures.
Right. For as many people, you're like, but it seemed like but most
people
like, were on
the what is it? Because it's outside. Outside is still outside is still the way to go.
Yeah, but still not foolproof, it seems. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And again, you have people who were unvaccinated too there who just had to bring negative tests and things like that. But it's just the hard part about reading all these headlines is like you just know that this is going to end tragically before they figure out that they should have never gone back to in-person instruction without these like really simple safety precautions and measures put into place. And I'm not a parent. Jack, I know you're a parent, allegedly, and some people I know that are parents, but like my heart goes out to y'all because like having to navigate this world where it seems like other parents' ideas of safety is diametrically opposed to yours in the sense that it's like this antithetical thing. It's like, well, we're just kind of dice rolling it with our kid, but we feel this is safe. It just feels like total chaos.
Yeah. I mean,
such chaos.
We're not back to school yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have to just based on last year, it seems like everybody was very into the precautions. So I'm hoping that we have the right community for it. But
right.
Yeah, man, it's
so scary. Yeah. I have a couple friends who are teachers and we just like had a big like party. I mean, not a big party, you know, like eight of us came over to their house to have like a bye, see you until the school year's over, right. Like because we're all vaxxed, they're vaxxed, but they were like, yeah, like we're just gonna be like vectors of disease for a little bit, like we're gonna get COVID, like just because they're going back to in-person learning and they're like they're very scared,
right?
They're not feeling good about it.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, so these are the stakes right now, and it's the most wonderful time of the year, it turns out.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fall.
Yeah, yeah, the fall. It's the fall.
It's the fall. It's fall. It's the fall.
Why is that? Why does the South go back so early to school?
Yeah, this I never. Completely that's besides the news point, to me. I didn't know that.
I remember when I lived in Kentucky, we would go back to school at the beginning of August. And it's like, okay, so it's extra hot and uncomfortable. So we're going to go back because it's the South. It doesn't fully make sense. Maybe it's like a farming thing or something.
It seems, just based on a quick search, it seems like it has a lot to do with farming.
Yeah,
earlier start of the season, southern students would get out sooner in May to help on the farm. The northern students who typically got out of school in June, so because of this they go back to school in August while the northerners go back to school in September.
What about SoCal?
We're just vibing, y'all.
We just kind of vibe it out.
Hit the marina,
we just vibe it out. We just vibe it out, bro.
Well, speaking of vibing it out in SoCal, Caitlyn Jenner is running a very serious campaign for governor.
So serious.
Yeah.
You mean a Big Brother Australia contestant, Caitlyn Jenner?
Right. So she was doing a like walk and talk tour of Venice Beach to essentially just, you know, point at the unhoused and be like, oh, God, what a nuisance, right? Gavin Newsom should be out. What are my ideas for? I don't know. Look, I just got back from Australia. I'm jet lagged. But
God,
during this, a lot of people had a lot of questions for Caitlyn Jenner. And to your point, Kate, mostly being like, you just were on Australian Celebrity Big Brother, like in the middle of this. Like, what is going on? This feels like a stunt. So first, people were asking, like, hey, is this like, do you have some kind of money making business deals on the side that are like tied to this campaign? And she got so fucking evasive. I just want to play you some clips of people just asking very normal questions of a gubernatorial candidate at a press conference.
Oh, my God.
Check this just straight up fucking pro answer from Caitlyn asking, have you pursued any money making ventures based on this campaign?
A lot of people have said that this is a vanity campaign. Can you reassure California voters that you haven't pursued any money-making ventures related to this campaign, reality shows, books, etc.?
I've never worked so hard for nothing in my life. yeah, it's... no, I had a prior commitment in Australia that was before this campaign even started. And... not like most politicians. I actually honor my contracts. Yes, and I do have a job. I think every candidate that is running on this.
Anyway, it's like another minute of just uncomfortable. Like, well, you know.
She also does everything besides make the jerk off hand motion when she refers to the campaign. She's like, right. This campaign,
whatever the fuck.
She's so over. She seems over it. I think like it's a. I don't know if it's not like it's a valid question, but also like it's like when you're a celebrity, the way that Caitlyn Jenner is a celebrity, like everything you do is for your personal brand, which like will make you money. Like right. So, like obviously, like she's making money
right
from like being in the news. Like it's gonna turn into money. Like her relevancy, like she's going to book more reality things, like she's going to.
Right.
Whatever. Like it does. This is the Kardashian business model.
I think right. The thing my brain is objecting to is that she wasn't more ready to lie like as a politician. Come on.
Absolutely.
And you got to.
The funny thing was like after the fact, like one of her reps like reached out to like the journalist and like answered the question like directly and was like, no, this has nothing to do with making money. And they're like, well, why? And they're like, they just weren't prepared to answer questions on that.
My God.
That moment. It's like, well, how are you? Huh. Then you're not a serious candidate. But again, very serious campaign, very serious goals. And, you know, you move on. We're in a fucking pandemic. So. Not just, you know, the unhoused, which I get is a really popular talking point to just smear the poor, but also trying to say like, you know, hey, you want to run this state? What about COVID? You know, what do you think about, you know, like vaccine mandates and things like that? That might be something you'd probably want to weigh in on as the potential governor. And then this is just another great answer of just rapid response. You could tell she's been thinking about this. It was a no-brainer to respond to such a simple question.
What's your plan on how to deal with the Delta variant if you're governor?
Right now, we have to follow the science.
California is currently mandating masks in schools. Well, Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is fighting against masks in schools.
So should kids in schools be wearing masks?
That's really up to the science of it.
The CDC says they should.
Yes.
She is such a fucking dumbass.
What the CDC says. But to be honest with you, I don't know if that is the answer, masks.
Wait, so you said do what the CDC says. Yeah, we should follow the science. But to be honest, I don't know if science is the best thing.
Oh, my God.
Then when someone like in the crowd, like at like during like the press spray, like when people are just choose taking questions, someone's like, what do you think about mandating vaccines, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm here to talk about the issues of the day, like referring to the unhoused. And then another reporter is like, we're in a pandemic, though. Just crickets. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, we're very lucky in the state of California to be looking down the barrel of just, you know, bringing back fucking Gavin Newsom, who's not doing the best, or just a Republican to fully fuck things up. So,
yeah.
So fucked.
September 14th, Californians, time to go to the polls.
I do like.
You know that, like, Caitlyn running this, like, joke of a campaign, and then Kanye's, like, whatever that was, the birthday party thing, like. Kim is sitting back and she's just, like, taking notes. Like, she's like, definitely going to be running in the next like 5 years for something.
Yeah. Attorney general.
These are the guinea pig campaigns testing out the waters for Kim Kardashian.
Can you right. She's like, she becomes like a total autocrat. She's like, I've been studying the great minds for decades and it's time for me to make my move.
I mean, that would be the one campaign I would be frightened of.
I'm terrified because she's going to have Kris Jenner in her corner. So she's like,
so smart.
Yeah,
I know. Kris Jenner's a mastermind.
But before any of that happens, we're going to see how the Donald Trump Jr. Scott Disick ticket works out in the 2020.
Right. Exactly.
I feel Trump like those Disick. Two. Oh.
Trump Disick. Lord Disick.
Yes.
Yikes.
Bring them together.
Oh, okay. There was another thing I wanted to mention during this like walk and talk tour of, you know, of trying to appear as like a serious candidate who's trying to address things like the unhoused population in LA. She was like walking with like three like homelessness advocates who were like trying to explain what's going on and what's needed, but they were also like pretty hostile with her. And even though this was like an event made to be like, I'm going to be talking with advocates, none of them were like, oh yeah, I would never endorse her. They're like, she wanted to talk. I'm telling her as a candidate, like what's needed. But like none of those people were there as to endorse her at all. So the whole thing was like a very bizarre press event.
Yeah. This is one of those unfortunate political situations where I think Californians need to get out there and vote for the lesser of two evils, because if, you know, it's,
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of Republicans who are voting. And so, oh, yeah. Californians just all need to go out and vote no, and then we'll hopefully do better at the next primary.
But yeah, because the other thing is Jenner's behind in the polls. Larry Elder is in front, the black conservative radio host.
Oh, yeah.
So you can only imagine what kinds of ideas for progress he might have or doesn't have. But yeah, it's truly a fucked if you do and super fucked if you don't kind of situation.
Yeah.
Because like I said last time, if Dianne Feinstein were to go down, the governor is the person who would pick the interim replacement for her as a senator. So if that were to happen on their watch, you could now just see the Senate math going real wacky all of a sudden. And also a lot of the executive appointments, they could just replace. The policy stuff would be a lot harder because of the veto-proof majorities in the legislature. But the other stuff as it relates to executive appointments and those other responsibilities could easily cause plenty of fucking just nonsense.
Feinstein's pretty old, too.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah, turns out.
Turns out.
Well, Kate, as always, such a pleasure having you on Daily Zeitgeist.
Oh, such a pleasure. This is the most beautiful paradise of a podcast. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Where can people find you? And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
My best friend, Joan Haley Ford, was just tweeting about like her tits going off at TSA, and I thought that was pretty funny. So everyone follow Joan for good tit tweets. At Joan Haley Ford, I think.
And where can people find you?
I'm at Kate Raft, and I do a Twitch show with my husband. It's called Jack AM. That's twitch.tv/JackAM every weekday at 7 a.m. Pacific. And also, I want to plug, I have a single out on Spotify or wherever you get music for my group Yellow Star. If you want to stream, it's called No Genitals, Just Vibes.
Nice. Ooh. Hell yeah.
It's about not having genitals.
And so, just vibes.
If that's your vibe, stream No Genitals, Just Vibes.
Okay. Wonderful. Might have to write out on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, go, if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check out the other show, 420 Day Fiancé, with Sophia Alexander and I. That's also on twitch.tv/420dayfiancé. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Callie, at Callie Bloxam, B-L-O-X-A-M, tweeted, being new at a job is so embarrassing for no reason. It's true. Those like feels like the weirdest first day of school shits. Like you at that school where you don't know anybody is definitely what those first couple of days at a new gig is like. And then another one is from Dan White at Dan White tweeted, set up my stepdad's Wi-Fi with a screen cap of a conversation with someone called Frank DuPepe. And I guess this is his stepdad. He says, hey, Dan, we're having dinner guests over and can't figure out this new modem you set up. What's our Wi-Fi network? He replies, Frank's big fat throbbing Wi-Fi. Jesus Christ, why would you do that? It was the default suggestion, I swear to God, or the Xfinity guy did it, but I definitely didn't make it. What's our password? Password, Frank-got-a-dui-in-2009! Fuck you. How do I change this fucking thing? He's like, you have to bring the modem to the top of it. It just goes on and on. But
damn, what?
So stupid.
One of the greats. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can come hang out with us at the live show, like we mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
Link to Tix in the show notes.
Sure notes.
Shy Knights, a tweet I've been enjoying. Jeff Lubness tweeted, ask Ted Lasso who he voted for in 2016.
Ooh. Wait, I found Joan's tweet if I could read it.
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay.
Do.
Okay, it's a two-parter. TSA guy felt up my tits today. He had to remain professional, but you could tell he was impressed. And then here's part two. So apparently the TSA just considers my boobs a potential deadly weapon now, which is fair since everyone who sees them comes to death.
That's great.
Great tweets.
I also liked a tweet from Ali Siegel who tweeted, a former guest Ali Siegel who tweeted, whoever named the spider Daddy Longlegs seems horny.
Mm-hmm. So true.
So horny.
So true.
The horniest name of the anything ever, name. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the history behind
Daddy
it?
Longlegs?
Honestly, like I never thought about that, but
spider? You're like, yo.
Excessively horny. So excessively horny.
Check out Daddy Longlegs over there, huh, honey? That's a fucking spider in our attic. All right. Whatever.
Oh my God.
But who is he? Who is that?
Who's that?
Who is that?
Very fuckable spider.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the tickets to our live show, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending people to go check out today?
I mean, I feel like it's a no-brainer at this point. You got to go on down to Spotify and check out the new single from K-Rath, No Genitals, Just Vibes.
Yeah, yep.
And just put that in your fucking ear holes right
now. Nope.
Yes.
All right.
It's from my group, Yellow Star. Shout out, Yellow Star.
Shout out, Yellow Star. Shout out, All Things Yellow. Shout out, Stars.
Exactly.
The movie out. Channel.
And shout out, Daddy Longlegs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to suggest you go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And hey, we'll talk to you then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.